Well, I hope in that song you could make out the words. Maybe you know that song, and it's spoken to you before. Not that the song is the gospel in and of itself, but I know a lot of times, you know, in this world, you know, let's just face it, this is a tough world, and you can get worn out really quick, and the message just kind of entails that today. If you would look with me in, I guess the actual text is going to come out of Mark chapter 14. I want to read to you another scripture first, so that you can get really what the message is about, and we'll hit this scripture again. But in Isaiah 42 in verse 3, the scripture will read this way: "A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth." Will y'all pray with me? Dear Lord, just ask you for strength this morning. Ask you for the right words to say. I ask you for the right spirit on your people. Lord, because I know that there's a lot of hurting folks out there. And I just ask for your mercy on them. And if there's failure in their life, that they would seek your face, that they would honor you and what you've done on the cross, that they would understand that there's forgiveness for sin and that there's hope when life seems hopeless. And I just ask, Lord, for your blessing this morning, for your hand on the message. May I be able to speak your words, not my opinions, not just my thoughts. But Lord, would you just fill me with your spirit that I may speak truly from the heart of God this morning. And I just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we see the life of Peter. If you are in Mark chapter 14, you look in verse 27. You know, Jesus has just said Judas is going to, you know, somebody's going to betray, and they're all wondering, who's it going to be? And Jesus gets to verse 27, and he says, "Saith unto them," all the disciples that's there, he says, all ye shall be offended of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Can you imagine that? If Jesus stood before Bethany Baptist Church this morning, and he said, all of you will be offended at me, because something's going to happen, and you're going to run. You're going to say, no, it's not worth it. The price is too big. And look what Peter says in verse 28. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee. Likewise also said they all. Jesus tells Peter, you think in your own power that you're going to be able to stand strong when it happens? Oh yeah. Death first, Jesus. That's what I will take. I'm not going to mess up. I will not let you down. I would rather die than let you down, Peter. The heart's there, but the flesh is weak. Before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me thrice. Three times. You're going to have three chances, Peter. And every single time, you're going to say no. Oh, no, never. Never, ever, ever, Jesus. Never happened to me. I won't do that. I won't run. I won't cower. I won't bend. I won't break. Yeah, you will, Peter. Yes, you will. Look in verse 66 of 14. And as Peter was beneath the palace, there came one of the maids of the high priest, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, "And thou also was with Jesus the Nazarene of Nazareth." But he denied, saying, "I know not, neither understand what thou sayest." And when he went out into the porch, you know what he did? If we had John Travis here from camp, you know, the kids, he would always stand out there and he would crow, wake everybody up in the morning. That's what he heard. The cock-a-doodle-doo. If you're my neighbor, you could hear a rooster from like 3 or 4 miles away. But it didn't hit him. I just heard a rooster crow. He keeps going. Look at the next verse. And the maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, "This is one of them." You see this guy? He's one of them. He's one of those Galileans. He's with Jesus. And he denied again. And a little after, they that stood by said again unto Peter, "Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto." We could tell by your voice. We could tell by the words, the way that your dialect is. You're one of those guys. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not this man of whom you speak." You know, just as vehemently as he was saying, "Tell Jesus, I will not deny you," he begins to do the same thing even more aggressively. To curse and to swear. Say, "I know not this guy. What are you even talking about?" And a second time the cock crew. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, "Before the cock crow twice, thou wilt deny me thrice." And when he thought thereon, he wept. You know, Peter had the problem. He assumed his own personal righteousness. You ever done that? You ever think you're better than what you really are? One of the biggest problems that we have with getting people to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior is that they're not lost in their minds. You ask them, "Are you a good person?" And they're like, "Yes, I'm a great person. I'm the best person I know." And they have an assumed righteousness. You know what the Scripture tells me? That there is none righteous. No, not one. We've all missed the mark. We have failed. All my righteousness is as a filthy rag, the Scripture would tell me. Romans 3:23 would say it like this, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Do you recognize that in yourself? Because if you can't recognize your own shortfalls, how can you be a servant of Jesus? You know, that's where God wants you to recognize, "I'm not as strong as I need to be. I do mess up." You know, recognizing your problem is the first step to being healed from it. And we have a generation that thinks, "I don't have a problem except for you. You're my problem." And they can't see their own wickedness. They can't see their own moral failures. And they think it's everyone else's fault, but not their own. And they fail. Over and over and over again. And it doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not. You will come to a breaking point. It just so happens that I was reading this week about a pastor that committed suicide in his depressed state. I don't think that's me. But we're reading about that a lot here lately. In fact, we're reading about teen suicide being up like 20%. It's the number one killer of teens. I know several of the teens back there, they probably all know somebody who's committed suicide who was a teenager. I was at a church I saw this. I witnessed to this kid myself. I shared the gospel with him. And I could see the conviction on his eyes. And yet he said no. And 2 months later, he killed himself. He came to a breaking point. He didn't understand the healing power that was in Christ. And he wouldn't receive it. He wouldn't reject himself and accept Jesus. But one of the things that I've learned, if you can say, I trust Jesus, no matter what's going on in my life, even if you're depressed, even if you're hurt, even if you've failed, it doesn't even matter where the failure is. It doesn't matter. There's no sin that God will say, no, I'll never forgive you. I will always forsake you and reject you. There's not one. Think of the most disgusting sin in that you can think of that would be to you. Jesus Christ would forgive that. The problem is we've got to get to that breaking point and recognize I have no righteousness. The only righteousness that I can have is through Jesus Christ. Psalms 34:18 would say it like this, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." You know, it's not enough to have a broken heart. You've got to have a contrite spirit. That means a spirit that says, Jesus, you're right. I'm wrong. Because there's a ton of people out there with a broken heart. And you know, one of the things that you've seen or I've seen is a lot is when things are hurting, they hurt others. You ever see you've seen probably videos of an animal that has like a caught in a trap or a wound. How do they act? They're very defensive. They think everything is going to hurt them. They think everything is going to attack them. They're broken. They're hurting. And they turn on even the thing that was willing to help, but they reject it. But if they could have a contrite spirit, they can be healed. If they would submit themselves to the one who's trying to deliver them. Hey, that's what Jesus is trying to do to you this morning. Because I bet sometime in your life you've had a broken heart. I bet there's been a time in your life that you felt like a failure. I bet there's been a time in your life that you felt like I'm just not good enough. How am I ever going to get out of this hole that I'm in? I feel like my life's in a rut. Nobody seems to care. Now, most of those things aren't true. But there's no one on earth that can convince you. And there's a whole bunch of other people like that today. That brokenness is all over them. Yet they will not have that contrite spirit and say, Jesus, you're my only salvation. You're the only one that can deliver me from this. I'm wore out. You see, you need to understand something about the Savior. Remember that scripture I read first, Isaiah 42:3? A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. You see, Peter, Jesus told him, I love you, Peter, but you're going to mess up. And Peter's standing right there in front of God manifest in the flesh, saying, I will never do those despicable things that you just said everyone else will do. Not me, Jesus. Yet, by the end of the day, by the end of the night, the next morning, he had, just like Jesus told him he would, how would you like to be Peter 3 days later when Jesus comes on the scene and looks you in the eye and says, how you doing, Peter? How you doing, Mitch? Knowing no one else was around, how do you think he did? I bet he couldn't look Jesus in the eye. He's like, Jesus saw me. Jesus heard me. I really messed up. When he needed me to stand strong the most, I had no backbone. I had no courage in myself. And he just dropped his head. So broken, he couldn't even say, I'm sorry. He's like, I don't even want to talk about it. I wish I could forget it. But he couldn't forget it. He couldn't forget it. When you get to John chapter 21, we read this about Peter. He's seen Jesus three times already. He's reappeared. And this time, Jesus isn't around. He hadn't come back for one of the final appearances. It says in John 21:3, Simon Peter saith unto them, the other disciples, I go a-fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night caught nothing. Do you understand what Peter was doing right there? He's like, I'm done. I tried. I failed. I just don't have the stuff needed to keep going. I was a pretty good fisherman. I think I'll just go back and do fishing. There's no conviction in fishing. I'm not going to have to look a fish in the eye and say, I failed you, fish. And he's like, I quit. I'm done. I'm going fishing. I'm going back to the way I used to be because I just can't handle this life. I can't handle my brokenness anymore. And the other disciples, they all ran that night. They're all feeling similar. And they're gone. We'll go with you, Peter. Misery loves company, right? Misery loves company. They even write songs that are hits these days, talking about the same thing. I like that you're broken, broken like me. Y'all know that song, right? It's a popular song for the teens. Because broken things, hurting things, like hurting people. And they misery loves company. Peter, he takes them, and they're going fishing. The thing is, Jesus understands how broken they are. And it says what in Isaiah? A broken reed, a bruised reed, he'll not break. Have you ever seen those bent over reeds? The wind's broken them. They've grown big and strong, but the wind broke it over. This is how gentle Jesus is. He won't even go over there and finish it off. Even when you're hurting, he's not going to kick you while you're down. He's not going to finish you off. He's not going to say, just because you failed, it's over. He'll say, let me help you up again. Let me dust you off, Peter. Let me get you back on the right track. Hey, if he'll do that for Peter, he'll do it for you. Because he loves you just as much as he loves Peter. You can't give up. Just because life's been hard, just because things have been rough, just because you feel like you've been rejected, you can't say, I'm a bruised reed, I might as well give up, I might as well just break off and fall into the muck. The Scripture says He's come to pick you up out of the muck and the mire, miry clay, and set your feet upon the rock to stand. We even sing a song about it. Jesus isn't going to finish you off. He's going to strengthen you. What does he do to Peter? Look with me in John chapter 21. John 21, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto them, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He does that three times. How many times did Peter fail? Three times. Three times Jesus restores Peter. Peter, do you love me more than these? And he looks at these things that Peter went back to. The fish. Peter, do you love me more than what this world has to offer? Yea, Lord, I love you. You know I love you. Peter, if you love me more than these, feed my lambs. Don't lose focus, Peter. Just because you messed up, don't lose focus. How many times you mess up, Peter? Three times? Peter, the second time, lovest thou me more than these? Yea, Lord, I love you more than these. Anything in this world, I love you more than these. Peter, the third time, lovest thou me more than these? That's verse 17. And he says, Lord, thou knowest all things. See, Peter realized something. I think he just realized. Jesus saying, I know exactly what you did, Peter. I know exactly where your love lied. You were selfish. You loved yourself and you were trying to protect yourself. But Peter, now, I'm resurrected from the dead. You see me here in the body. You see the mission that's ahead, that there's a great work. You know, the Scripture even will say, back before, Jesus tells Peter, that it says, when you are converted, you will encourage the brethren. Peter, there's a mission for you. So that you can be there when they need you the most. Peter, you've got to understand, do you love me more than any of these things? This third time, Peter, it's starting to bother him because he realizes. And I can just see him bow his head. Yea, Lord, I do. I wish I could take it back what I did. I do love you more than these. Feed my sheep. You realize what he's saying there? Peter, you got to. There is a mission that's ahead. It's the gospel. You've got to be there. You've got to quit focusing on the past and look forward to the future. You see the children, they're lambs. Feed them. Give them the Scriptures. Give them the gospel. Keep giving it to them until they become sheep. And then you keep feeding them. And you give them the truth of the gospel. You don't waver. You don't compromise. You admit that you were a failure. And repent of it. The Scripture said, if we would just turn from our wicked ways and acknowledge Him, He would direct our paths. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. He'll direct your paths. It doesn't matter your moral failure. Does He want you to live in that failure? No way. It's not written in the Scriptures, but we have a testimony from other sources about what happened to Peter. It even tells him right here. Let me read it to you. It says, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walked whether thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whether thou wouldest not. Do you understand what he's saying? He's saying, Peter, when you were young, and you didn't know the truth of the gospel, you did exactly what you wanted to do. But now you're going to have the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit's going to guide you wherever you want to go. And the last time, when you were in control of yourself, you ran. You fled. You denied. But the next time, Peter, you're not going to. Because somebody else is going to be in control of what's going on in your life. The Holy Spirit is. And you're going to stretch out your arms. And you're going to say, Lord, I'm not failing you this time. I'm not going to say no anymore. Even if my destiny is the cross also, I will accept it. That's exactly what happened to Peter. Tradition tells us that he was crucified on a cross. But when he was dying, when they were about to put him on, he's like, I'm not even worthy for you to put me up straight. And they hung him upside down on a cross. See, he didn't run anymore. He never denied again. He learned his lesson because he realized something. It's more important for me to love Jesus more than anything in this world, more than his own comfort, more than his own self-preservation, more than anything. Aren't you glad that Peter got that message? Read the book of Acts. See what happens. Peter's there on the day of Pentecost. The one who was such a miserable failure a few months before, stood strong in the Spirit, not caring what anybody thought, not caring what anybody said, not concerned about what's going to happen to him, but giving the testimony of Jesus dying and rising again. Hey, that's the change that happens when Jesus doesn't break that reed off. When he heals a bruised reed and not destroying it. Hey, have you been there? The writer of that song was. He's been there. I've been there. I can remember the pain that I was feeling as I was going through certain things. And I doubt I'm alone. I doubt I'm alone. Let me ask you something today. Have you ever been broken and in need of healing? Maybe today's that day. You know, the Apostle Paul, he tried so many times to reach his people. Acts 28 and verse 27 tells us that the heart of the people was waxed gross, and their ears dull of hearing. And their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted. And then he says, and I should heal them. See, God uses brokenness to reach you. Don't think that he's hurting you on purpose. Romans 10:28 would say it like this, that all things work together for the good to them who are called according to His purpose. That God is trying to reach you. And He can use that pain in your life to draw you closer to Himself. I think Tozer would say it like this, it's doubtful that God can use any person that He has not greatly who He's not hurt deeply. You see, the problem that we have is that we have assumed our own righteousness like Peter did. And we don't realize that we're broken and we're in need of a Savior, in need of a Deliverer, and we think we can handle it. And we never get that contrite spirit. You know, the psalmist, he understood. I'm going to close a little bit differently today. I'm going to pray from the book of Psalms, chapter 38. You can look there if you'd like while I pray, and then we're going to close. But I just want you to think this morning, are you a bruised reed? know this. Jesus doesn't want to finish you off. He wants to heal you. He wants to bring you back. He wants to use you, just like He did for Peter. He's not done with you. You think it's over because you messed up once? You think it's over because you're a failure? You think it's over because you don't think you're strong enough? That's exactly who God wants to use. If He wanted somebody with super talent, He could have got somebody with super talent. But what does He use? He uses those. They got nothing. They got no super talent. They've got no super gifts. But what does He do? He equips them. You think you've got nothing to offer? If you've got the Holy Spirit inside of you, you've got everything to offer. But when we get stuck on ourselves and we stay broken and never become contrite, well, you're right about one thing. You will not be used. God can't use you. You won't let Him use you. You're like, I'm just a bruised reed. What good am I? You're worth a lot to the Savior if you'd let Him heal you. Psalms chapter 38. I'm going to pray. If you'd like to bow your heads or read along with me, I'm not going to do the whole chapter, but most of it. Just pray with me on this. And beginning at verse 6 is where I'm going to start. Lord, I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. My loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore, broken. I have roared by reason of my disquieted, my broken heart. Lord, all my desire is before You, and my groaning is not hid from Thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of my eyes, it is also gone from me. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. In verse 15, for in Thee, Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord my God. For I said, hear me, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me. When my foot slippeth, they magnify themselves against me. For I am ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I will declare my iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin. But mine enemies are lively, and they are strong. And they that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. They also that render evil for good are mine adversaries, because I follow the thing that is good. Forsake me not, O Lord. O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. If the song leader and the pianist would come. I don't know if you've ever prayed a psalm, but David was broken before. He was worn out. He was troubled. He was miserable. He thought everything was against him. But he realized this, that his hope had to be in the Lord. That he couldn't save himself. There's only one way to overcome brokenness, and that is if you would give yourself 100% to Jesus Christ. Make Him Lord of your life. What does the Scripture say? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That doesn't mean just saved from eternity, but He can take your brokenness and He can put those pieces back together and make you whole again. Would you let Him today? Would you let Him? Brother Sean.